We would like to dedicate this episode to Liliana Elena González Castro
and Jouko Kykkänen.
Welcome everyone to the 20th episode of the Board Game OK podcast. 20 episodes, Jonas. A podcast about board games and the hobby of board gaming, recorded in wet Helsinki, Finland. I'm your host, Luis, and with me is your other host, Jonas.
Tervehdys. That's my spooky greeting.
I got it. In this episode, we will tell you a lot about our visit to Essen, Germany for a little-known fair called Essen Spiel. We will talk about some of our favorite games at the fair, as well as some of the big games that we did not check out. Now, Jonas, why is it a lot about Spiel and not all about Essen Spiel that we're going to talk about today?
I have no idea what you're asking me. Why is it a lot and not all about Essen Spiel? I do not know. Tell me.
Because we're going to have another episode that covers some of these games.
Ah, that is true.
Next time around. So some of the games that we might want to cover or that might have been super excited, we will reserve for a very special episode next time. That being said, this time we're not going to have reviews in order to have more time to talk about the board games and to talk about a lot more about Spiel. Jonas, do you want to give us a little bit of a mousse-bouche and a little bit of an intro to our experience in Essen?
Sure. Where should we start? It happened so that we missed the first day of Spiel Essen. Finnair, our flight company, had a little bit of an oopsie with the seat covers. They had washed them improperly, not according to safety standards. So a lot of the Finnair airplanes had to have their seat covers changed. Our flights got moved. We missed the first day of Essen. However, I would say that whatever we missed, we kind of like, what is the word I'm looking for here? We sped up. Mm-hmm. We catched up with kind of like our past selves. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we were at Essen or at the Spiel from the start to the end.
Yeah, I guess if we had not missed Thursday, maybe we would have had a couple more relaxing Fridays or Saturday, or the Friday or Saturday would have been maybe a bit more relaxing. But yeah, it happened to be that we wanted to spend the whole day at the convention and we were able to. And we for sure fill our time without feeling tired at all. Well, I mean, I guess a bit tired, but definitely not exhausted of board games. So first we want to talk about, or we want to set the right expectations for our listeners. So we want to talk about the games that we didn't check out. These were hyped, these were praised, these were thumbed or thumbed up, and yet we mostly ignore them. So from that list...
Before we get to these things, why are we even like listing out the games that we missed? I think we missed this in the intro, Luis. We are going to be giving our personal rewards, like our best choices of Essen Spiel. Ah, oh yeah.
Well, it's like, it's talking about the games.
Yeah,
yes,
it's like, yeah.
That is true.
You don't have to say everything like out loud. The listeners will get it.
Listeners will get it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. But we are going to be giving out some personal rewards, what were our kind of like best games of the fair. But so that you as the listener know what games were not taken into consideration, we are going to be listing out those most hyped games that we did not play.
Indeed. And the very first of those games is Orlog, the Astronomical Clock. Orlog is a heavy strategy game. I think the main reason that I missed it, or at least that I didn't check it out, is that because we missed that first day and some friends were there, they sent us a picture of Orlog sold out. Or at least, I don't know if you know. They sent me a picture of Orlog sold out, sorry. And to me, that was like, okay, it wasn't clear if it was sold out for the day, which sometimes happens, and they have more copies other days. But I understood that it was sold out. So I was like, okay, it was a game that I was already maybe not necessarily thinking about checking out, and that kind of made it go out of my mind completely and not even consider trying to spend some time in there. What about you, Jonas? What do you think about Orlog? Or did you even go to the booth to check it out?
No, I did not. To me, the selling point with Orlog was always bright colors and cool dials. And that's not enough for me to A, buy a game, or B, wake up extra early to get into a demo. Since, you know, we were talking about a game that a lot of people want to demo. I did not want to queue up for Orlog.
Yeah, for sure. It's a game that seems interesting. I think for all intents and purposes, most people that I've seen review it online say that it's an okay to good game. Nobody has said it's an extraordinary game. But a lot of people had said it's somewhat fiddly. Like, it's one of those games that you do something and allows you to do something else and allows you to do something else. And in one channel of gaming rules, I don't know if you heard about, they even said, like, it's one of those games that, where you finish your turn and you have to check what the next person is doing in order to help them not forget to take an action or to take a bonus action or to take a reward. And to me, that's like, okay, I played enough of those games. I have enough of those games. Definitely don't need another one in my collection, especially that didn't particularly sing to me and felt very heavy. Another thing that people have said that is good is like iconography apparently and rulebook is really good from a little known publisher called Perro Loco. So definitely that still is a good signal for me to check out new games, but definitely not Orlok this time.
Yeah, to me that sounds like the same as saying like, oh, this pizza place is great. Yeah, the pizza itself is, it's so-so, but the box that it comes in, wow, that box.
Yeah, but it's good signals of like things done right, you know? And that means like, okay, maybe this design was not the right one, but with the right design, it might be like also a good game and to check out, or at least a good company to keep an eye on. But yeah, you're right. Good box, good colors, not best game.
Another one that we missed was Feyes Swamp. Yes, our flights got canceled. We completely missed the first day of Spiel Essen. There were only 160 copies being sold at Essen. There was no way, even if we would have made it in time, it would have still be like a less than 50% chance that I would have been able to get a copy. I did go to their booth later on Friday to see what does the demo situation look like, you know, if there's a chance for us to get a demo. They had only one table for demos.
Yeah.
But I asked a person at the booth if there's any chance of scheduling a demo. And he laughed at my face.
Yeah.
No, he did not laugh at my face. But he did say that there is a massive line every morning for the demos. And if you want to try your luck, hey, go ahead, try to queue up. And I did not want to try my luck. I just accepted my defeat.
Yeah, definitely. They seem to have gotten too much hype for what they were expecting. I think, if I'm not mistaken, all the copies that I've seen coming out were actually in Spanish. Like the box itself was El Pantano de Feya. None of them were in English. So I think the game itself is language independent and they have rules in English, but I think they were just expecting to demo it and maybe already had some agreements or some licensing deals or whatever. But for sure, they were not expecting to get so hyped before the convention.
Or it can be that that's what they expected. But again, those licensing deals could have kind of like tied their hands in terms of like what kind of presence can they
have. Yeah, for sure. Whatever it is. Small booth, big game, not really compatible with a lot of people's expectations. I did happen to play another one of their games, which is called Alebrijes. That's all I'm going to say about that game. The next game that we didn't check out is Nature, which is from the makers of Evolution and Oceans, I think. So this is a game, a card game where you're trying to make some species and add attributes to the species in order either to make them more likely to reproduce or less likely to be eaten or more likely to eat other prey. And the whole point is that you're trying to get food, and the food, I assume, is victory points. I've not really seen this this game in play, but I've heard a lot about it and I've seen a couple of reviews. To me, the biggest detractor of this game is the art. You know that I don't like realistic art in my games, and this type of realism, it kind of turns me off for whatever reason. So if it had been a little bit more cartoonish or a little bit different, I might have been willing to check it out, because the idea of it sounds something like a bit interesting, at least to try. And there has been so many iterations of this game, and many people say that Nature is the best version of this, that I'm like, hey, maybe there's something to it. And if they keep producing them and if they keep selling them, then it means that it might be a game worth checking out. But at least that's my opinion. What about you, Jonas?
I'm the opposite on the art. I think the art of all of these versions of Evolution have been absolutely amazing. I have played Oceans, but unfortunately, I did not care much for it, which means I wasn't really excited about Nature either. I felt that I had kind of like seen the general gist of it, and just thought that, well, I don't know, the execution, at least with Ocean, seems to be a little bit lacking. A lot of bookkeeping instead of kind of like focusing on the thing that's actually happening in front of ourselves.
Yeah, I might check it out later. Even I will hurt my eyes doing that. You might not ever check it out.
Coming of Age is another game that we missed. I looked into the mechanisms of Coming of Age, and they just seemed super uninspiring given the theme. The theme is like growing up, kind of like the Game of Life, but ideally, you know, a better version of the Game of Life. When I checked the rules, I got the impression that we are moving on different tracks to see what kind of a person you will become, meaning your person is represented by 5 tracks or something like that. Maybe the tracks are good, but I will let someone else figure that stuff out.
Honestly, I did not check it out before the con that much. If I'm not misremembering, this is Danny Garcia's game, right? I've never been excited about anything Danny Garcia has put out in the past. Cities, Barcelona,
But why not? People like these games.
I know, I mean,
Barcelona has been kind of like coined as kind of like a hidden gem almost.
100%,
like,
but I've never been
went
excited.
Under the radar.
And it has been under my radar, and therefore it's like, okay, if I had played a game, I had liked it, maybe I would have gotten more excited. But
You're like, is it so that you are now like living through cognitive dissonance? Since I missed out on this game, the game must be bad, because I, as Luis, I cannot miss out on good games.
No, it's more like, since I have never been excited about games before, and I've heard a lot about their games, I'm like, okay, I don't feel excited about checking this game out. And what I was about to say is that after the con, now that while we were checking for this episode, I was starting to check like the mechanisms and the tracks, and it actually sounded pretty cool. And the art looked nice. All of this Game of Life type of thing didn't excite me at all either. But the tracks themselves are not really tracks, but they are more like sliders where you can move towards one side or the other constantly through the game. And then like depending on where you are, you can kind of trigger different. Like if you're more athletic and outgoing, then you would have like kind of different traits and different options to do stuff in the game. Whereas if you're like more like at home in your couch, then you will be able to do like different bonus actions. So that was cool that you could, depending on where you are, and you can move the slider. So anyway, after checking it, I'm like, hey, maybe it might be worth checking out. But before, that was the main reason, I think, why I didn't get excited before the con. But hey, Danny Garcia, maybe I'm coming for you, man. Next game is Sanctuary, which is an Ark Nova game. At least in the box, it says an Ark Nova game. It's somewhat of a re-implementation, say, or like a streamlined version of Ark Nova. I think it has a lot of the ideas of the Ark Nova game without it being at all the same game. At least that's what I got the impression. This is like, in this game, it's a tile game where you're putting hexes representing your animals in a board, and you only have hexagonal tiles. That's the only shape you have. You don't have multi-hexagonal, nomial hexagonal. You don't have anything but single shape tiles throughout the entire game. And then the actions are significantly simplified. As far as I understand, I do not like Ark Nova myself.
Yeah, so why are you introducing Ark Nova? Why did you pick Ark Nova or Sanctuary for yourself to introduce?
I just put them in order.
Yeah.
I just put them in order of how you were, and it's like one me,
okay.
One you.
Oh, yeah.
So, but
person
this is why we
Ark Nova. Please continue.
This is why I missed it. I don't like Ark Nova. I did not get particularly excited about Sanctuary. Therefore, missed out completely, didn't even check it out. But if you like Ark Nova, Jonas, why did you miss out this game?
All right. As Luis said, Sanctuary is a simple Ark Nova. I don't like playing Ark Nova in person. But I really like playing Ark Nova on BGA, since on BGA, the game time and setup and teach are not going to be a problem. If you play this in person, to me, that's like way too much hassle for me. But like, why did I miss on Sanctuary? I'm afraid my mad Ark Nova skills will translate too much to Sanctuary, which means that I won't be able to play this with Chilla or with other people because, you know, I'm going to be maybe just too good in Sanctuary. So it's not like a fun game. However, okay, Ark Nova hits. Tune in. Now I'm going to tell you the real scoop on Sanctuary. So I did talk with some other Ark Nova heads at Essen, who I saw playing Sanctuary, and they really liked it. you know? So this is a good signal if you're like Ark Nova. They showed me some of the changes, and I personally really like those changes. The game end is still very much player-driven, but now it's not about points. You need to either support 5 conservation projects or fill up your map, and boom, the game ends. And if you have played Ark Nova, you know exactly what this means. Or at least, hey, that's how I understood the game ending.
Hey, Ark Nova heads, you are wrong. The game of Ark Nova is not a good game, and you are all delusional into thinking that. But still, one thing that I did hear from other Ark Nova heads is that the game is too different from Ark Nova. So if you like Ark Nova, it might not translate to liking this because it's too simplified. Like, it's too much of a different version of the game. Apparently the actions are just about obviously placing the tiles, which make them not different enough to care that much of where their position is, unless it's very circumstantially. At least that's what I've seen online. So I know the Ark Nova heads that you are talking about, and I do appreciate that they were liking it, but at least this is my impression from seeing some other reviews and people checking it online after the Essen.
Yeah, I hear that. But to me, that's like such a silly review. Because if you present that, hey, here's a lighter version of this game, and then if the criticism is like, wait, this is a lighter version of Ark Nova? This is not good. It's like, what are you even talking about? It's like a different product.
I think the review is like, does not feel like Ark Nova. Not even the lighter version. And I think that's the main point that they were trying to make. At least that's how I understood it. So, but hey, I'm not an Ark Nova head, so I have no, how do you say it? I have no foot on this fight, or I have no, I don't know.
No skin in the game.
And I have no skin in the game, so other people will tell me about that, and I'll be happy to let them make that decision.
I will introduce to you Echoes of Time, a game that we missed. That was another hyped game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Simone Luciani here, so we have a designer pedigree in this game. But I just have some kind of weird prejudice against games that look like Echoes of Time. And by the look, I mean this dark fantasy, or whatever this is called. Whenever I see a dark fantasy game, I just think, bad game, dark fantasy theme, just for someone to buy it. That's kind of like my weird prejudice. That's all. I'm an irrational being. That's why I skipped Echoes of Time.
I, on the other hand, are a completely rational being, and I skip Echoes of Time because it comes from Cranio Creations. And Cranio Creations burned me once with Barrage. They will never burn me again.
Luis had a very bad game of Barrage. I was there to witness it. Plan better. That's my tip for all the Barrage players out there. Plan your moves.
Sure. By the way, another thing, I kind of joking about the Cranio Creations. I mean, partly, yes, but I have many times been like, oh, should I buy that game? And been really inclined because, by the way, I always think their games look really good. Even this one. Now, the theme, I don't mind, but the fact that they were all birds. I also don't even mind anthropomorphic animals. But anthropomorphic animals, make it varied, man. Don't make it only birds. And to me, that was the main thing. That was like, if it had been like a little wolf here and there, that would have been cool. But
yeah, no, I love it that finally we get some objectivity to these reviews.
Yes, this pure rationality. Next game that we missed out, also very high, top of the list, but bottom of the top, is the Voynich puzzle.
I think it's Voynich.
Voynich, which is based on this famous manuscript, which is like a super mysterious that people don't know who made it, but it's like super old and was found or refound at the end of the 1800s or at the beginning of the 1900s, but it was actually created like 1400s, like in the Renaissance or something like that. But it has this book, it makes no sense. Nobody has been able to identify what it's supposed to be, but it looks like a natural treatise on something, but made by aliens or a crazy person. So
yeah, I've like checked, I've seen some video or some podcast, I can't remember what was the content I consumed about the Voynich puzzle. Apparently, if you do this kind of like linguistic analysis on the Voynich puzzle book, you will find out that this doesn't seem to follow the patterns of typical human languages. Therefore, it's most likely just gibberish.
Gibberish. Like Gibberers, the famous game from last year. But anyway, another game by Dani Garcia. which we know exactly my rational thinking on that and why I didn't check it out. To be honest, I did have it on my checkout list. I just completely forgot. And by the time I remembered, sold out, they had like a copy there, but Salt and Pepper Games is located at the entrance of Hall 3. And they kind of like, when they sell out, like it's empty, like, or at least every time I've been there, the booth is empty and it's like, they're not even demoing or doing anything. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess this game, I will not check out. It did look a bit too busy for me, like a little bit too many fiddly pieces and too many moving parts, similarly to what I said about Orlok. But to be honest, I was not as put off by this game as I was maybe put off by Orlok pre-Essen. But I just didn't check it out. What about you, Jonas?
Yeah, I saw something related to the book mechanic that players have. Players have personal books. You have two pages or something, and then you do some kind of efficiency puzzle on the board and has illustrations from the Voynich manuscript. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just another efficiency puzzle, but this time it's books instead of dials.
Yeah.
The last game that we missed was the White Castle Duel. Well, I already like White Castle, which I guess means that I should be interested in this dual version as well. But this time, I'm feeling just fine playing White Castle, and I don't need to look for the best version of White Castle out there. That's why I skipped White Castle Duel.
I personally feel the same. Like, it's like, well, I don't need another two-player game. There's so many out there. I did not love White Castle. I think I need to play it again. I have it, so why not? Definitely didn't hate the game either, but it's like one of those things like, okay, I didn't like the game. Why would I buy the duo version? I don't need another two-player game. So for me, that was just like, no need to check it out.
Apart from Feyes Swamp, we either played, demoed, or bought our most expected, most hyped games, our personal favorites of Spiel Essen 2025, or not favorites, the games that we were most looking forward to. Animal Rescue Team is a game I bought. I have not played it yet, so it's not going to show up in any of these picks from my part. How about you? Anything that you bought, but you did not play?
Yeah, 100%. Oliva is the one that I think, well, I think I haven't played that much. I got super sick after Essen, so I haven't been able to play that much after the fair. And I got a bit hooked on the Airborne Rangers fad, so I've been trying to play that with Mia the times that we were able to play. So that's why, like, I pretty much haven't played anything that I bought from Essen. But yeah, Oliva was the one that for sure I didn't.
How about Severton? Have you played Severton?
Haven't played Severton.
Okay, but the other ones I know that you have played.
Okay,
because I have played them with you.
Yes.
Except our personal, like, hey, are our picks for each other? I recommended Orloi for you. We talked about that. You recommended Tax to Rich for me. I just kind of ended up backing out from Tax to Rich. I ended up getting the new Friedemann Friese trick-taking game instead. I thought that maybe this is more like a game for me. So I just did not end up getting Tax to Rich or end up playing it or demoing it.
You couldn't have. I think I went there. It was not even that late on the Friday, which is the first day that we were there. Completely sold out. So
nice. Then I don't have anything to regret about.
No. All right. And now we're going to move on to our prizes or awards or our choices of Essen. And we have several categories, which we will, I guess, well, they will be pretty self-explanatory when we talk about them. But I'm not going to introduce them now. Let's just go one by one and see what comes out so that we don't.
I think that sounds a bit more exciting, Luis.
Yes. So the first category that we have is most exciting demo. What demo was the most exciting?
And what do we mean by most exciting? Was it the teach was the most exciting or?
Most exciting.
Or we were feeling the most exciting. We had the most exciting meal before the demo.
I think it means whatever you decide that this means. It's like, it's either the demo that you were most excited when sitting down or the demo that regardless of whether you were excited or not, they did, I think, a good job at making the game exciting or at making a good demo. So I took this category as like best demo. Like, which demo did you like also the most? The way it was played, the way it was explained, the way it was done. There's obviously multiple different versions of demos there in Essen. So yeah, Jonas, most exciting demo for you.
Yeah, I didn't get a single bad TH in any of the demos. Every demo was like nicely organized, as it usually is. I just like really appreciate how much effort the publishers put into kind of like getting the volunteers, teaching the games to the volunteers, and how well the volunteers also give those teaches. So my pick for the most exciting demo has nothing to do about the facilitation of the game. Just kind of like, hey, out of the demos that I had, which game kind of like was the most, just simply the most exciting, even though I didn't get to play a full game. My most exciting demo of Spielessen 2025 is Theocratia, or Theocratia. Theocratia was the demo that left me hungry for more. We played maybe one third or half of a game, and I would have wanted to see how the game turned out, because, you know, once we were at that half point of the game, it felt that, hey, you know, we could really finish this game, but the others were like, no, we want to go to our next thing. So I was like, okay, all right, let's finish here. Hey, don't judge the box by the cover. Wait, don't judge the game by the cover. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Or the game by the box, maybe?
Yeah, don't judge the game by the box. Andrew Bosley, I think, is a great board game illustrator. But this box just looks like the most generic Euro ever. You got some people dancing in front of a statue. It just feels like, yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. Seems could be like a pretty boring game. And yes, you will find some, you know, your typical dice drafting and action selection in the game. But the big twist is that you are drafting dice for a tribe that is not owned by any player. You are aliens that are pretending to be gods to control the tribes. And whoever is seen as the best god by the tribes is the winner of the game.
Yeah, this game looks super cool. I wish they had space for two people so that I could have played with you. But you ditched me. You told me, go away, Luis. I'm going to try this game. And I had to make my way around the convention alone and sad while you were having fun playing Theocratia. So I'm happy you enjoyed it. By the way, Jonas, before I go into my most exciting demo, do you consider what you did with Five Families a demo?
No, I think that was a full game.
Yeah, I know, but like, would you consider like you demoed the game at Essen, or no?
Five Families. What happened with Five Families? Queen's Games had these like tables that didn't necessarily have teachers. Although I later heard that some of those tables had teachers.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I saw one group leaving from a table that had Five Families, which I was like somewhat intrigued about. So I went to that table and then I asked them like, hey, are you finishing your game? They said, yes, it was like a really nice game. Then I said like, okay, do you just sit here? Do you get a teach? They said like, no, they just sat here. They read the rule book. But it's a simple rule book. So, you know, you can learn this game. So I sat down, I read the rule book, and then I felt that, okay, yeah, I know how to teach this game. And then I just put out my hand and like waved at people like, hey, I want players, I want players, I want players. I was able to fish from the sea of people for Belgians who I played Five Families with.
Nice.
So I taught them the game. Yes, I also took part in this art of demoing.
Yeah.
Yes. However, I think my teach, given my prep, probably was lacking compared to the more professional demos that we received.
So it was a demo. Okay, good.
But we played a full game from the start to the very end. We counted the points. We checked who won. It was like a game like any other game.
Cool.
No, sorry. I'm not saying Five Families was a game like any other game. Just like the playing of the game was like, I like Five Families. Good game.
All right. My most exciting demo is Essen Spiel?
Spielessen, I think, might be there.
I think it's Essen Spiel.
Maybe it's Essen Spiel.
Oh, my most exciting demo of Essen Spiel 2025 is Forestry. This was a game that I was on the fence about even checking out. I kind of wanted to check it out, but I had no idea whether I wanted to buy it. It also has somewhat of realistic artwork, which is not my jam. It's from a company, a designer, publisher that I like, which is Pink Troubadour. But it was not certain that we were going to get to do a demo because it was pretty busy. Fortunately, Jonas was able to book us demos at the same time, though in different tables.
Yeah. Jonas really just like let Luis down here. Like, thanks a lot. for booking a demo
no.
at separate tables.
I was saying how you amazingly were able to book us a demo, but then went ahead and backstabbed me and then went to Jokrasha alone. But still, anyway, Forestry, it's one of those scripted demos where they tell you like, hey, we're not going to play. I'm going to tell you basically the rules of the game, but I'm also going to tell you what you're going to do on each one of these turns for the first two rounds. And then you're going to play one or two rounds depending on how much time is available, because we have 1 hour available for the demo. And then you can play those two rounds, kind of. So it's definitely a demo, not a full game. So you don't get to experience all of the juiciness. But on that scripted demo for sure made me understand the game and made me want to buy the game, which I proceeded to do afterwards. I was not really planning on doing it, but after the demo, I changed my mind. So I guess it was a pretty good and exciting demo.
Yeah, I have no complaints about the demo and how it was done. With Forestry, I just felt that, hey, it's the thing that we're doing here. We're just doing like contract fulfillment. We're collecting wood to do like a wooden bicycle at some point or something like that. So you pick up these contracts. You're like, hey, you need maple for this. One maple, one blue chit for this. And then you can make your bikes and then you get some points for it. And then, you know, the thing that makes this exciting is that, well, what if it's not just contract fulfillment?
Mm.
What if you have to take three steps before you can get that resource, which to me is not that exciting. Unless we enter into this like super fun simulation level games, which to me, Forestry did not feel like a forest, you know, forestry simulation. I do not own forests. I'm not a forestry expert, but I live in a country where a lot of people own forests. There's plenty of forest here. There's plenty of forestry happening around here. I know plenty of people who own forests and have cut down trees.
Look at Jonas.
And I have cut down trees. I have cut down trees. I grew up in a house that was like, you know, we heated up with trees. I have gone to the forest. I have like chopped things down. Of course, you know, like that's not forestry. That's just us collecting firewood. All right. To me, this kind of like forestry felt like this Bob the Builder level simulation where it's like, oh, you drive your little harvester. Is that what it's called? Drive your little harvester to this hex and you go like, cut down the maple tree and now you get the maple and then you make your bikes. And then, oh, no, there's no maple here. So let's like regrow the maple. So you go like dip, 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 dip. Put some seeds. That's the sound you put like dip, 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 dip. And then, whoop, maple comes up. And then you're like, meow.
Yeah, but
down goes the maple.
I think.
Tree.
I mean, you might be right. But I honestly think it's a pretty interesting efficiency puzzle where like you have this, your action points, you have your kind of limited capability of movement. And you have to kind of see, okay, this is where I am at. This is what I need to do. This is my action points available. Therefore, like, how do I manage to achieve there? So for sure, it might be that feels a bit too restrictive and maybe a bit too circumstantial. But I felt, at least from the demo, that there was something special with the game. And that's what made me like, I want to try it out. I think there's something more than just what you're saying. And we will check it out later and we'll see. That was the most exciting demo. Second most exciting demo, the demo that I made.
Wait. Hey. There's no second places here. Like, no,
hey,
no, I'm serious.
You told about your five families.
You brought it up. There's no second place. No, I'm serious.
Well, listen.
Like,
you're diluting the
value of these rewards.
No,
it's like,
second most exciting demo. They didn't let me finish.
Okay.
The demo that I made of Pilgrims, while the designer was signing my box, I basically explained the whole game that had just been explained to us to a completely new table. So that he could sign my box and do a little design. And I think I did a pretty good job at it.
At the illustration.
Yeah, the illustration guy. I think you went because you were like, I don't know what you wanted to do. Again, stabbing me in the back while I got left there explaining the entire game in a pretty good way, I think.
Oh, you demoed Pilgrims to a new table?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, that's why I was saying. Like, that was the funny part about the second most exciting demo.
All right, I'll allow this addition. I will not edit this out.
Thank you, Jonas. Yeah, you have all the power. So, all right, our next award, or actually anti-award, is the biggest disappointment. Which game, the biggest flop, the flop of the con is how you named it. I put biggest disappointment.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, which game let you down the most?
Like, yeah, we had like, at least for this game, I had high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Then I played it and I was like, ah, really?
Yeah.
Now, before I answer this question, let me ask you, Luis, which meal of Spiel Essen was the biggest disappointment for you?
Which meal? I think the very last one. Well, there was a couple, but the very last one, the burgers.
Oh, yeah. In the black bun.
Yes, in the black bun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was I was expecting it to be nicer, and it ended up being like a frozen patty, just unfrozen and put in a random black bone with badly cooked fries. So that to me was the biggest disappointment. What about you?
That burger was not my biggest disappointment because based on my burger experience in Essen, I feel like the Essen people, they cannot make a burger. What was my biggest disappointment in terms of food?
I love how we cannot have a second place, but we can have a randomly new award for food.
Mm-hmm. I got some cold patties from Rewe as we were going to our hotel to play some games, trying to get like a quick meal on the way. I had no idea that they were cold. So those cold beef patties, eating them in the slight rain outside of Rewe. I think that was maybe my most disappointing meal. For me, the flop of the con was or is the Druids of Edora, a game that we discussed in our kind of like these games that we were expecting. A game by Stefan Feld, a lot of high hopes for this. And I can't believe this is what people want from Stefan Feld. I'm not a Feld expert. I played only Castles of Burgundy and In the Year of the Dragon, which is an even older Feld title. What I expected was this smooth, interactive dice placement game. There was interaction, but the smoothness was kind of like lacking. You move on the map paying these provisions, but it's not fun calculating these provisions. And that's so much of what you end up doing in the game. I had so much higher expectations, and because of that, the Druids of Edora is my flop of the con. I had a good time playing the game. I'm not saying this is a bad game. I just like, you know, the expectations were high. And then I played it and I was like, I'm pretty sure Stefan Feld can do better than this.
Guess what? We're going to save ourselves 5 minutes of this podcast because I don't think I have anything to add to what you just said. My biggest disappointment is the Druids of Edora.
Wow.
This is a game that I'm so disappointed that I'm considering for the first time to sell the game. Sell a game. I actually have never sold a game in my collection. I have this fear of missing out. And I'm like, hey, this maybe is a game that I can get a pretty okay amount of money for right now.
Yeah, you might get everything back if you sell it right now.
It's actually, unfortunately, it's already available in the store. So it's like, that's what made me stop. Like, no, okay, I can keep the game. I would like to play it one more time to just see. But otherwise, yes, everything you said. Plus, it's supposed to be, it is dice placement, but I would... extremely disappointed that the dice, you roll once at the beginning of the game and then they're stuck there and there's absolutely no way to modify their values.
That part I kind of liked because that allows you to kind of like look at what other people can do. And then when you look at those dice, you also know kind of like, because again, you're placing dice to these like same areas as mm-hmm. others. There's like in a three-player game that we played, every area has spots for three dice. So mm-hmm. at max, there can be one dice from every player, one mm-hmm. die from every player. And the highest die kind of gives you the most points. So sometimes you're like looking at your dice like, is this where I want to use my six? Or maybe I put the two here or the three.
Yeah, the problem is that it also costs you to place the dice. The more the bigger the value, the more it costs you to place it. So the more provisions you have to have. So then you have to make a game of like, where the hell are the provisions? Like, where can I get more provisions from? And that to me felt quite restricted, but still. I think there was a point of also like first time we played, we were really not sure how these things interacted together. So therefore, had now knowing how it plays, you might approach the game a bit different. But still, everything you said about it being a Feld and what people expect of Feld and everything and believing that Feld can do better, I completely agree. So that was my biggest disappointment. I was tempted to say another one, but... because I had a couple others.
Yeah.
But no, I think for sure it was the one that I mentioned. I named it on the previous episode and we played it and sad.
Yep. However, I would be still like, I would love you to bring this to the meetup or to our Sunday games.
Yeah.
Because I want to give this game another shot.
Try. Same. All right. The next award is Best Two-Player Game of the Con. That is pretty self-explanatory, but every other category has been self-explanatory, and I still made a point of saying more about it. So I did as well now. The count has to be two, cannot be more, cannot True. Be less.
Yes.
Best two-player game.
And we're talking about best here. We're not talking about the worst two-player game. No, nope. Not the second best, not the third best. What we feel is the best.
The best.
Two-player game.
Yes.
All right? Everyone on the same page here. Hey, the reason why we picked this category for the awards was that we ended up playing quite a lot of two-player only games.
Yeah.
I'm going to list you all the two-player games that we played together. Tag Team, Duel for Cardia, Furnace Duel, Faust versus Mephisto, Ikor, well, I only played that one.
I saw you play.
Yeah. General Orders, Zengoku, Jidai, I only played that one. Luis did not play it.
Mm.
And Little Soldiers. Okay,
Wait.
Yeah?
Well, doesn't count, I guess. The Battle of Versailles.
Yes, we also played, while we were eating our bad burgers, Battle of Versailles, title from previous year. I did not take Battle of Versailles into account here. Did you?
No. I mean, to be honest,
well, is that going to be?
I forgot that we played it.
Yeah. Okay. My best two-player game of Essen Spiel / Spiel Essen 2025 is Little Soldiers. It's the Toy Story soldiers, but they are fighting each other. The rules are so simple. Although now I own the game, I looked at the rule book. You can even make it more complex. You can add more soldiers. You can add extra mechanics. You can use, and you need to use, household items to create a battleground. But, you know, since it's kind of like those Toy Story soldiers, the battleground does not end up feeling non-thematic. Because, hey, you know, it's the toy soldiers coming alive. Couple of highlights from the game. There is a 12-sided die that you can flick to throw a grenade. And then there's a catapult, like a physical catapult that you have to shoot yourself. Is it easy to shoot the catapult? Nope. But is it fun to try to shoot the catapult? Absolutely. Luis, is this game fun or what?
Yeah, this game was fantastic. It was a great surprise. The only thing that I was on the fence is like what you just said about the household items. Like all of these demo tables were filled with exaggerated toys. Like, you know, like they were Toy Story, the movie in a table. And that made it like look super nice. And I was like, well, what if it's just coffee cups? Would it like look the same? Would it feel the same? And I felt like maybe not. So it feels that, or to me, it felt like, oh, maybe this is a demo effect of being in the convention. So that's what, and then you proceeded to buy it. So I'm like, maybe Jonas at some point, if he is nice, will be, or if I win a bet, will play it with me.
Yeah. One of the items that were on our demo table was the Acapus. Is it Acapus?
Acapus. I think so.
Abacus. So one of them was Abacus. At some point, Lewis hit one of his soldiers behind the Abacus and then started moving the pearls to kind of hide the soldiers. And I, like a 5-year-old, started shouting like, no, Lewis, that's not fair. You can't do that. You can't touch the items. Now, at that point...
The rules didn't say I couldn't.
Yeah, but at that point, when I caught myself acting like a 5-year-old, I knew like, okay, yeah, this game is great. These are exactly the kind of feelings I want to kind of get out. I sometimes want to step out of the adult world and, you know, embrace my inner child. Little Soldiers is perfect for that.
Yeah, definitely a great game. My personal best two-player game of the con was Tag Team. I think that was also a surprise. I was maybe not expecting the same thing. I was expecting something like, I didn't know, maybe I haven't really seen what it was about. I had seen some reviews, but ignored them. And it's just fantastic. It feels a little bit of, if you have played Challengers, where this like you select the order of the cards, but then it's kind of random where the cards will come out. But then you are kind of, your opponent's doing the same and you're revealing cards at the same time. Where depending on the card that you reveal, you will either attack, defend, or do damage, or get energy. Very simple mechanics, very simple things. But also, you have multiple different fighters. Each player plays with two, and they feel significantly different. And they feel thematically, there is this also toy factor of moving all of the things around, playing around. I imagine discovering different fighters. So immediately, I was like, I want to play with more fighters. Unfortunately, by the time I went to the booth or decided to buy the game, it was sold out. Luckily for me, it's being sold in stores right now. I don't have the money after going to Essen to buy a new board game, but this is definitely a game that it's really worth playing. What about you, Jonas? What do you think about Tag Team?
I really enjoyed Tag Team. You start with two cards. You choose which one of those cards goes on top, which goes on the bottom. You cannot change that order anymore. But every turn, you add one more card and you choose where that new card goes in. But again, you cannot change the order afterwards, which means that there is that memory element in the game where you try to remember like, oh yeah, was this the loser's third card or a second card? Was it like that? Yes, there is like that double thing where they're like, oh, I'm going to change the attack here. Is Luz going to then put the defend there? But I think part of like the double thing is removed by the fact that will Luz remember that I did this thing here? And you, of course, yourself thinking like, wait, was that defend the third or fourth? So it's just like a lot of like fun kind of like skill development there. Yeah. I feel like, you know, it's trying to like remember and think about like what's happening inside the deck. And yeah, as you said, the characters were super fun. I got to play the bear man. So it starts as like a Viking that then turns into a bear. No, I did not play it very optimally because you kind of like want to boost up the bear. So when the bear enters the scene, you want to have a strong bear. I just wanted to see the bear, so I kind of rushed it. But yeah, I had like a very fun time playing Tag Team.
Yeah, I played it a few times more in Board Game Arena after that with a friend. Also fun, and it takes away a little bit of the all of the figuring out, okay, how much attack power. But to me, it takes out of the game because I like the figuring out. I like looking at the cards. I like moving things around. Toy factor, again. So for sure, game that you should play physically, but also worth playing in Board Game Arena if you don't mind it. All right. The next category that we have is best light game of the con. And by light game, we mean anything you might want to mean by light game. Anything, a game that is maybe not necessarily by weight, but that it felt light. It can be a card game. It can be a game without that many rules.
Yeah. Family games, party games, card games, anything that is not a heavy game is a light game. My best light game of Spiel Essen or Essen Spiel 2025 is Wisp Wood. So I didn't technically play a full game of Wisp Wood. The games that we have now kind of like rewarded, have been full games sans, of course, the best demo. Yes, the Wisp Wood was technically a demo, but I feel that I saw enough by playing the first two rounds. We skipped the very last round, which is kind of like a little bit of repetition of the previous rounds. You're always doing the same thing in every round. Hey, Wisp Wood is polyominoes. That's it. On your turn, you pick a shape and a scoring criteria, and you add that shape to your personal grid that you keep building turn after turn. When I saw Wisp Wood as the game CGE introduced for this year's Essen, I was bit disappointed. You know, usually CGE brings out something heavier, something that feels a little bit more innovative, you know? And this Wispwood game just looked a little bit uninspiring. But man, is the game good.
My light game of the con, surprisingly, I think is Joyride Full Throttle. I do not know if you would consider this a light game, but I felt that it's like, okay, it's rolling some dice, moving around this, like, didn't feel like there's so many rules. I mean, I've never read the rule book.
Yeah, I feel like Joyride is a light game for people who do not enjoy light games. It's like, okay, well, if I have to pick a light game, then I'll pick this big box game that's kind of light.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about choosing Little Soldiers, but then I was like, two player games, so maybe that's out of the competition. And none of the other light games that we played felt that fantastic to me. So maybe this is also like, I didn't have amazing light game experiences. And Joyride, we played it last convention, and now we played the 6-player version. And that's a game that also, like, I feel like it's on my kind of to-buy list, or maybe it's like would be like an interesting game to play around and like an interesting party game that is not very full for people that like a little bit of chaos, a little bit of messy, a little bit of fun. I think it's just a cool game.
Yeah, and I think especially for our meetup, the perfect game for that.
Yeah. So that is my best light game of the con It is Joyride Full Throttle. Sorry.
Yeah. I really also enjoyed our game of Joyride. This was the second time me playing it. We also demoed the first version of Joyride last year. I think it's still fun to crash into these cars. But every time I've demoed Joyride, I've just kind of like wondered, like, okay, but would I enjoy like a full game? And after like that one game, do I want a second game?
Mm.
But hey, I cannot deny that I did not have fun crashing into cars.
All right. Jonas, the next category that we have, it's a surprise category that you do not know about. So you might not have prepared for this, but this is like the biggest surprise of the con. A game that you were not expecting anything for, and you got something in return.
Do you want to start so I can think a little bit about which game I want to pick here?
Definitely. For me, the biggest surprise of the con was Furnace Duel. It's a game that I don't particularly like Furnace. I don't like, well, I've never played the way we played Furnace Duel. It's the one that we're like, hey, you put them and then...
You mean by, yes. So in Furnace base game, there is kind of like I think it's called an advanced variant or whatever variant. It's like, hey, whenever you get those cards that, you know, do the conversions, the base rules tell you to, like, you know, collect those cards and then activate in any order.
In any order, yeah.
And then there's the variant of, like, you have to put them always left or right, and you activate them from left to right.
Yeah.
This is an opinion, but this is like a recommendation. If you ever play Furnace, play by the advanced variant.
Yeah.
That will make the game so much more smoother, so much, it adds so much more tension to it.
Yeah.
If you don't play this way and you have like those five converters in front of you, you will at some point look at one of your opponents who's going like, oh, should I do this first or that first and that first? And you're like, get on with it. But if you do it in order, hey, you remove that problem completely.
Yeah, and I think the dual part, like, so this again, I was not expecting anything for it. I had already disregarded because Furnace Duel, it happened to be a table. We were just walking, and this is the beauty of Essen. There happened to be a table open. We were like, hey, let's check that out. And it ended up being, a really good experience. We played the whole game. We got a good teach. And the game mechanics are really interesting, this like putting the trains in between. So they change it. They change Furnace Duel in a good way, I think.
Yeah, and auction games usually do not work at two players. I would say that Furnace Duel, it's a very good two-player auction game.
Yeah.
Now, to me, it's still Furnace. I didn't care that much for the Furnace Duel. However, I would say if I would have to play Furnace, I would pick Furnace Duel over Furnace every time.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely. And that's why it was the surprise for me. I think the biggest surprise of the con. What about you, Jonas? Have you thought about it?
Yes. My biggest surprise is Carnival of Sins.
Mm-hmm.
Carnival of Sins felt like a game such as Coup, Love Letter, Masquerade. You know these games where you have a small deck of cards. Every player has like the cards represent these different roles and special skills, special abilities that you can do. There's like a little bit of bluffing usually involved, hidden cards, etc., etc. I feel that in our meetup at some point, and still maybe these days also, there's been like, these games have often been played when people are still arriving.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lost my love for these games a long time ago. If I want to play a warm-up game, I'd rather play a dexterity game or a more classic card game. For these ones, I just don't care about like the bluffing aspect or like reading these like special action actions, etc. I just want like, let's go even more simple. We can have more fun. Just like straight fun. Let's skip all this. It's kind of like these extra mechanics. Mm-hmm. Now, Carnival of Sins seemed like a game that would fit into this category. So a category that I did not have very high expectations for. I played a three-player game, and I would say that I had a pretty good time. In Carnival of Sins, you're going to throw every round some dice in the middle. Everyone has the same characters in their hands, and everyone picks in secret one of the characters that they want to play, and that character lets you pick certain dice based on certain rules, and every time you're picking dice, you want to get like as much points as possible. You know, you try to add the pip values together.
Yep.
And you have like six-sided dice, you got three-sided die. What is it, 24-sided dice, the biggest die?
No, I think it's just 20-sided die. Like, I think it's just like your...
Oh, yeah, 20. Your, I think, yes, 20.
I think
yes.
It's your basic kind of D&D little box where it has like a D20, a D12, a D10, a D4 and a D6 and two D6s.
Yeah, I completely forgot that the D20 is not D24. Yes, I mixed 24s to 20s. My favorite skill that these characters have is like pick the dice that's closest to you.
Yeah,
that's the funniest. It's like every time you're wondering, like, okay, now I have a D6 closest to me.
Yeah.
Should I take that one? Is this time to play this card?
Yeah.
I was just like, maybe next time another die will come, be closer to me.
Yeah. And the game plays in 7 rounds. So you have to play your 7 cards. So once you played one, you don't have it available. And once it's the last round, you have the card that you have not wanted to play for the entire game. Now you have to play it regardless. So yeah, definitely good that you mentioned. Also a very good surprise and a nice surprise for me. Carnival of Sins, I played a 5-player game with 4 random people and we all were laughing quite a lot and having a lot of fun. So definitely a good game. All right, now moving on to the best heavy game of the con. What we mean by heavy, Jonas?
We mean the opposite of light.
The opposite of light.
Take all the games in the world, remove the light games, you're left with the heavy games.
You're left with the games that we're about to choose.
Before I pick my heavy game of the con, Luis, what was the best meal that you had?
The best meal of the con that I had? Honestly, I think it was the breakfast sandwich with some egg and bacon and some lettuce and tomato.
Yeah, we're talking about Döppe Rühr Bacon Eye Brötchen.
Döppe Rühr Bacon Sandwich. Yeah. An egg.
That was really good. I'm personally sad that we missed out on Pizza Express this year. Last time we had like a very nice experience at the Pizza Express of Essen. Hey, that restaurant is up and coming. This year, they already have 3.3 stars on Google Maps. The only way is up, baby.
The only way is up.
But unfortunately, we missed out on Pizza Express. Instead, we went to another takeaway pizza place.
Yeah, weird. No toilet.
Yeah, no toilet. You're supposed to like take the pizza and leave. But they had some chairs, so we stayed there to eat our pizza. Ah, it was a really nice pizza. I would say even though Pizza Express is good pizza, maybe this takeaway pizza place, I can't remember the name of it, it seemed to be a little bit more solid, more classic execution of that, of your Neapolitan pizza.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what Pizza Express has that this place doesn't? A toilet.
That is true.
So I will try to avoid going to a place without a toilet. If I can.
Yes.
So this place stabbed us in the back by like, yeah, no toilet. Oh, okay. Oopsie.
Yep. Unfortunately, we had to do our business on the street. This could be a great segue for night soil. But no, night soil was not my best heavy game of the con. My best heavy game of the con was Kalimala 2nd Edition. Yeah, Kalimala came out in 2017. Did it make a big splash? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But hey, there's a new version of it. And yes, I picked this new version as my best heavy game of the con. Alley Cat Games has released a fancy new version. In Kalimala, you place workers on this grid of worker placement spots and collect different resources and build different things for points. Sounds pretty boring, doesn't it? Put a worker, do the action, yawn, yawn, yawn.
Yawn.
Get resources, convert these to other resources, fill a contract at some point. Actually, there's no contracts in Kalimala. Okay, but hey, There are a couple of twists in Kalimala. First twist. If someone comes to the same worker placement spot as you, you can redo your action, which means you are constantly thinking not just about what you want, but what others will want and how much can you give stuff to others when you're going to a specific spot. Twist number two. There are a bunch of ways to score points, but each scoring criteria is triggered once per game. And they are also scored throughout the game as players intentionally or sometimes accidentally trigger them, which means that you need to really make sure you have the right thing in the right place when the next scoring happens. And if you miss that one scoring criteria that you were building out for and you miss it, well, tough luck. You just lost 3 points. It's time to pack up and accept your defeat.
Yeah, I played Kalimala with you recently. I packed up and accepted my defeat heavily. I was doing so well on the first round. I was the first person to get 3 points and then subsequently got absolutely smashed by not focusing on the right things at the right time. Definitely a game that is simple enough. We unfortunately had a player that really did not get the rules.
Yeah, we had a five-player game, new person at the meetup. Maybe like it seemed like maybe their first time playing like a heavy game.
Yeah.
Although I would say people who play a lot of board games, Kalimala, it's kind of like some might say, yeah, lightish.
I think so.
A lightish heavy game.
No, but this is not a lightish. Don't use that word, Jonas. This is heavy.
Yeah, this is heavy. Yeah.
No, yeah, I do agree with you, and definitely feels like a game that we could have, even with five players, finish in an hour, maybe after the teach, or maybe even, well, maybe an hour. It's a good estimate. So it feels like fast, breezy, quick turns. You can do your thing and move on. A game that I'm very looking forward to play again. I was a bit disappointed about my performance and by my lack of thinking of like where to focus first. And definitely there's a puzzle there to be like, okay, this is where the sections are. This is what I want to do first so that people will push me towards scoring or towards all the things. Super interesting game. Looking forward. What was the designer of this game, by the way? Do you remember?
Fabio Lopiano. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Super nice game. Very nice art, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I love the art on this game. So definitely nice little guys there.
One disappointment with the production.
Yeah.
When I played it at Essen,
mm-hmm.
they had, because this was on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
When I played it at Essen, my personal board had this, like, it was like double-sided cardboard. Not double-sided, double-layered cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
So when you build ships, those ships would kind of like slot into your board.
Yeah.
And then your cubes would slot into those board. Yeah, and it was like so nice. And then when I got my version, the retail edition.
Yeah.
The blip edition. I was like, oh, wait, where's my double-sided cardboard? Double-layered, not double-sided.
Was main board also double layer so that the cubes would slot there, or just a personal board?
I think it was just a personal board.
Okay.
Definitely not a game that you do not want to kick the table with your knee. There might be some argument that follows where the different cubes were. But don't worry, it's not like a big concern. Not a production concern at all. I just got to play the very fancy version first. Mm. And just like it is in real life, you know, it's hard to calm down. Much nicer to kind of like go up.
You know, another disappointment, weird disappointment, two blues. I don't like the fact that there was two blues. I'm the blue player most of the time.
Yeah, now you were baby blue.
I was baby blue.
I was, and there was marine blue.
Yeah, I was like, why? There's so many colors. Choose another one. I guess there's an argument towards color blindness here, but it felt weird that there was two blues instead of different colors. But... weird pet peeve, I guess. My biggest, bestest, heaviest board game is actually Night Soil.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, this is a game that I was looking forward to play. We played with the five-player version. I don't want to talk too much about it because we will talk about it on the next episode. However, Night Soil was a nice surprise. It's actually quite a small game. It comes with this tablecloth board map. The cards, the production looks really nice. And the game is all about cleaning poop on the streets of London. And I think it delivers thematically about cleaning poop. You really feel like a poop cleaner while you're cleaning the poops of London. No, not really, but it had interesting mechanics. It had interesting interactions. I'm looking forward to play this. Again, I really enjoyed Night Soil.
I actually posted my very first PGG review last week about Night Soil, because I looked at some of the reviews of Night Soil.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of people complaining about the player elimination that happens in Night Soil. Because between the rounds, you have to collect workers.
Ah.
And, you know, you might miss out on it. But hey, more about it in the next episode.
Yeah. The last award of tonight is... our personal recommendations of the con. What game should listeners add to their Christmas shopping list?
Yes, now it's time to put the money into the mouth.
The money
in
where the mouth is.
Yeah, put the money
where the mouth is.
Where the mouth is. So yes, we have like these games, but these ones I'm saying like, hey, invest.
Yeah, it's time to eat the money.
Yes. Oh, me first?
Yes, you have been going first every single one.
Yeah, I just thought that would be more introduction to it. But no, this is enough introductions. My recommendation of Spiel Essen or Essen Spiel 2025 is Wispwood, which was also my pick for the lightest game. Wispwood feels like a very safe recommendation to anyone who is into polyomino games and is not necessarily looking for extra mechanics around these polyominoes to spice things up. This is your cacio e pepe, a very simple dish with very simple ingredients. It's black pepper, cheese, and pasta. But when the ingredients are simple, Luis, it comes down to how well can you cook these ingredients. Mm. So let me read this sentence about cacio e pepe from Wikipedia. Achieving a smooth and creamy texture during preparation requires special attention, as the cheese is prone to becoming lumpy.
Mm.
Well, polyomino games and other spatial puzzles can get a bit lumpy, in my experience, but Wispwood does not feel lumpy at all. The game is not going to change your mind about polyominoes, but it's gonna be a great game for you if you like games such as Patchwork, I don't know what else, My City, Framework, you know, if you like the simplicity, or also Cascadia. Yeah, if you like Cascadia, kind of like the lighter end of these spatial puzzles, you're gonna love Wispwood. It's such a great execution in this classic genre.
So are you happy that CGE came out with this game for this year?
I am.
All right. Are you going to buy it?
I was hoping to buy Wispwood, but they had sold out.
Yeah.
Because I was like not hurrying to buy Wispwood at all. It was more like, hey, maybe I'll try it. Might as well. And then after that, I was like, hey, I want to go get it. I went to queue up for it and it had sold out.
Yeah.
It hasn't come out officially yet, so you can't even buy it yet. But when it comes out, I will likely buy it. It has this nice spooky theme to it. I would have loved to have Wispwood this Halloween.
Yeah, nice recommendation. My recommendation, the game that I think you should buy for this holiday season is Tag Team. I think definitely that is a game that was also a big surprise for me. I have, again, heard about it, kind of ignore it, put it out of my mind. Like, yeah, no, another two-player game. I don't need another one. And then we sat down and played, and boom, like, it's a juicy, juicy game. I want to play it again. I want to keep playing it. I want to play with multiple different fighters. If they come with Tag Team 2, get more fighters, give us your money, I'll be like, yes, please, and thank you. So definitely it's a game that I'm looking forward to play more, and I think people will enjoy a lot. Anybody, you can, I think, I don't know what's in the number recommendation on the box, but for sure you can play with younger kids, you play with the family, you can play with anyone. Easy to teach, easy to understand, and easy to play. And it's fast. And if you lose, or if you tie like we did, you're like, hey, let's just go at it again. Unless Jonas says like, no, Luis, this is not in the spirit of the con.
Yeah, we tied our tag team game. Luis was said like, hey, you know, if you tie, you have to play again. And I said that, Luis, there are other people who want to demo these games. We have to share the toys with others, Luis.
I know. Anyway, so definitely I will be buying this game, and I want to play it more. And in the meantime, I'll play it in Board Game Arena.
Great recommendation.
All right. That is all for today. We want to thank you for your time. Our next episode is airing in
2 weeks or 1 week. Wow. We will see, because we are now 1 week behind.
Yeah.
Because of like, hey, turns out, if you go to a very cramped convention hall with 200,000 other people, you might catch a couple of germs.
I think the problem is also like, if you then stay up until 2 a.m. and wake up at 8 a.m. and don't sleep enough, then your body's going to feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. In the meantime, you can visit boardgameok.com for more information about the show.
Moin, moin.